the question for humanity isn't, do we worship? But the question is who or what do we worship? Worship is the place and the position in life in which we honor something, in which we revere something, in which we give adoration to a person or a thing. My guess is you, like me, have some things that you appreciate in life, and that worship gets complicated in different seasons. We mean well, but it doesn't always go well. It doesn't always declare what we actually believe. And so we're jumping into this discussion on identity and kind of shifting the conversation, not just on identity, but how does it lead us to worship? For just a second, think about this. Think if you have a spouse or if you want a spouse, how so quickly we say things like, they're my everything. That sounds good, but it's kind of scary when they can't be your everything. For those of you who are grandparents, think about how you adore your grandchildren. Do you adore your grandchildren above the one whom gives life to your grandchildren? For those of us who have hobbies that we love and we honestly live for, does that cause us at times to have conflicted worship? What about our heritage, where we've come from, how we've been raised, what we look like, how we think? Does that bleed over into the way we adore or revere or honor or don't honor, revere, or adore certain things? What about the ideas that float through your mind? You can see quickly that a conversation on worship is going to cause some wrestling, some stirrings, hopefully bring about some life change. I just want to remind us, for those who have been in the series with us, going through the Gospel of John, you know that John wrote this book, that all who would read it, all who would walk alongside Jesus would come to believe in Christ in a way that their identity would be made new. And in reading through the Gospel of John, we know that Jesus embraces our questions. We know that he refocuses our perspective. You can't help but read through the Gospel of John and recognize that this transformational new that Jesus offers in relationship with him, well, it's for everyone. But sometimes it's easier to declare it for everyone and leave ourselves out of that. And John doesn't do that. He says everyone starts with the way me, experience life change in Christ. And we've looked at how this relationship with Jesus, it reshapes our cultural values. But now we're going to look into the Gospel of John, and we're going to kind of work our way through it, and we're going to reach out it from time to time and see what the Bible says in other places. But we're going to ask ourselves, what does it look like for new to sing a song? Our song. Our individual song and our collective song. We believe that the church is a gathering of God's people, and that a gathering of God's people, from time to time, he puts a new song on their heart. Kind of let's look in here for just a second. It says, new sings a song. Every person and generation needs a sacred space to wrestle with God in a healthy way. Jesus provides a transformative relationship in which we can find our voice, sing our song, work our craft, or discover our call, and move toward our God-designed purpose. In Jesus, there is a safe place to try out a new song. You see, God has this grand idea that in Christ we would worship in new ways. But we recognize that worship isn't always an easy conversation, and so we oftentimes minimalize it. If you've been around church world very long, you know that we sometimes get confused in our worship. We happen to think that it happens at a certain time, in a certain location, and we might say that, you know, Sunday is a day of worship. But if new's going to sing a song, we have to understand that worship is a lifestyle. Sometimes we happen to think that we go to a church, but if new's going to sing a song, we have to recognize that we are the church. Sometimes we get to the spot in our encounter services and we say, well, we're going to go back to worshiping. And we think to ourselves that singing is the primary way in which we worship. But worship is far more than that. It's an everything issue. You see, the reality is this, that real worship is messy. It's awkward. It's fun. It's challenging. And it's vulnerable. Why is it all of these things? Because worship is an absolute ongoing process. When I think about worship and get asked to explain it, this would be just the Tyler Myers version of what worship looks like. Worship is the consistent reprioritization of what holds supreme voice in our life, week, and in the moment. You recognize when you see that, right, that I have to consistently reprioritize which voice is supreme. And it's not just for me. I can't just say like, well, over the lifetime, yeah, God's the ultimate voice. No, I have to ask myself, yeah, over the lifetime, that's who I want to give supreme voice to. But what does that look like week to week? And if I'm honest to myself, how does that work moment to moment? And so working from out to in and in to out, it's this consistent reprioritization of what's happening. Paul's going to phrase it this way when he writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Do you hear what Paul is doing? He's reprioritizing things. He's making this very much an identity issue, that if you want to sing this transformative new song that Jesus invites us into, well, then you have to allow the old things of life to die so that they can be redeemed to the new things that Christ can do in and through you. Well, if you live in the world that I live in, you probably recognize that we're broken, we're sinful, and we're selfish beings. But if you know the gospel that I know, you know the power of the life, the death, and the resurrection, and the ruling reign of Jesus Christ, and how he longs to transform us into a new being. And so around here, we say that we want to facilitate life change, and that's kind of the heartbeat of today. We're going to say it this way, that true life change brings about true worship. That we don't really get to sing the song that Jesus has put in our soul unless we're willing to walk in a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And so the relationship with Jesus breathes life into the way in which we worship. I want to invite you this morning into the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 4. If you've got your John journal, it's going to be page 22 that we start on. If you're grabbing it from another Bible or from a device, it's John chapter 4, verse 21. Look here where we pick up this text. It says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Do you hear it? Right off the bat, in a conversation with this woman, Jesus knows that it's going to be a believing relationship. She's going to have to trust Jesus in order to follow him, but he's going to shift something. If you're looking at this text, you see there's two places discussed. There's the mountain, and there's Jerusalem. And we've always been kind of conditioned as humans to think like of a place or a season or an experience or a format that changed our life. But make it very, very clear. If you walk with Jesus, it's never been about the where it happened. It's always been about the who. Do you see that in the text? That this isn't about the mountain or Jerusalem, but this is about the worship of the Father, the one whom has gifted us, created us, and knows what's best for us. We've walked through a season. You know the season, the one in which we said, hey, we're going to move everything online. And I just want to thank you for being focused not on going to a building, but in being the church. And that has led us to a variety of formats. And we just kind of want to give you a quick update this morning to remind us that this is never about the where or the how, the format, but always about the who for us. And so we are going to work on re-entering into a new phase. And you know that we went into the stay-at-home thing on March 15th. And that's been a blessing, to be honest with you. God has worked in amazing ways. And we're going to continue to be able to stay at home because of a commitment to rebuild our digital ministry so that we can continue to do services on-site and off-site simultaneously and both be engaging. And imagine what this is going to look like anytime that you're sick, anytime that you're headed on vacation or you're snowbirding, or to those that are going off to college, or to be able to have Madison Park anywhere, to be able to encounter God together. But on March 31st, we said, hey, why don't we start gathering in these house gatherings? I don't know where you're sitting this morning, but I'm sitting with a small group of people. And I've been doing that the past couple weeks, and it has been an incredible experience. And I hope that you would take us up on the offer to reach out and to gather as a group and to have a meaningful experience together. But we want you to know that we want to be in line with what the Spirit's doing, and we believe one of the gifts God gives us to do that is to pray. And so on June 15th through the 19th, we're going to open up the West venue to an intentional guided prayer. And you're going to be able to come in anytime between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. with yourself, with your spouse, with your family, with your small group, with a friend, and just to walk through prayer, because we want God to lead us as we reflect on this past season, be re-energized in the moment, but anticipate the next season that he wants to walk our church into. And we've also said that we're going to, on July 12th, we're going to start having on-site gatherings again. And please stay tuned to kind of the nuances that are going to come with that. We want to be honest with you right off the bat that we're not going to open up our early childhood and elementary ministries that first Sunday back. But we hope to, if everything goes well and things stay on track, we hope to do that August 2nd. We'll keep you informed, but I want to remind us that this text is practical. That it's not on the mountain, it's not in Jerusalem, it's not in a building, it's not in a format that we experience life change. It's in relationship with Jesus and his people that we get morphed and moved into the likeness of our Savior. Well, let's go on in the text in verse 22. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. It is interesting and frustrating, right? That you only know what you know. It's a limiting factor in life, but one of the gifts of walking with a new identity in Christ is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as you lean into what the Holy Spirit does, it says it gives us the mind of Christ. It allows us to know beyond what we know. It's transformative. It allows us to worship better. And we hear the heartbeat of Jesus is that salvation is for all people. Salvation is in the conversation. I don't know how you're feeling in this season. I know the spectrum is wide, but I hope you're listening. Because we told you that we believe that every generation needs a sacred space to find their voice, to wrestle with their voice, to work their craft, to find out what it looks like to be moved in Christ. And I believe that right now we are living in a unique time in which God is doing something new. He's paving way for another song to be sang by his people. And I'll be honest with you, when we look back through church history, there are going to be some people that resist the moving from hymnals to the projector. There's going to be some people who resist moving from the projector to the drum set. And there's going to be some people who resist this new form of worship. But I hope we're not those people. I hope we're a people listening. I've been in lots of conversations over the past couple weeks, and they've been really, really helpful conversations. But one thing that seems to be common in all the conversations, no matter who's in the conversation, big group, small group, nationally, locally, there's some things stirring where people are asking what matters most. Is anybody listening? There seems to be a lot of noise, a lot of darkness, a lot of chaos. But when you sit across the table with somebody eye to eye or in a group with people and you're all looking in each other's eyes, the song that seems to be stirring is God's people going to listen? Are they genuinely going to listen? Church, if we will lean into being transformed, to singing this new song in which we would actually listen to one another, maybe there might be a song birthing for the church right now that we could be a part of that would lead to reconciliation and that would prove to people that Jesus truly does bring about life and light. But it's going to have to start with true life change within us, because that's going to lead to true worship. And true worship is winsome to those who are experiencing chaos, confusion, weariness, and frustration. We only know what we know, but we lean into the Spirit and ask us to move us. And we do that by leaning into other people who have the Spirit. I've read a lot, I've watched some documentaries, I've watched some movies, I've been in several different conversations with a variety of different diversities in the conversation. But I just want to gift you with one of the best resources I've found thus far. There's this book called The Third Option, Hope for a Racially Divided Nation. I would encourage you to pick this book up. Right now, it's sold out in hard copy. You just can't get a hold of it, which I'm really excited about, because hopefully that means people are reading it, people are digesting it. But if you read on Kindle or you're willing to listen to it on an audiobook like I did, this book could have the power to help breathe life change into you, different perspectives, help you wrestle. In this book, Miles McPherson, a guy who has ministered for years in San Diego. He started out in student ministry. He's moved into preaching ministry. He sat with police officers helping pave way for conversation. He sat on the other side of the tracks and paved way for other conversations. And he leads the most multi-diverse congregation in America. He's figuring out this reconciliation conversation. And he says one of the issues is everybody wants to talk about a two-option model. Are you racist, yes or no? He says it's the wrong question, and he writes this whole book to help us. He goes, it's not a matter of are you racist, yes or no. It's a matter of do you have a blind spot? That there's a third option, that we all walk with blind spots, and we need somebody and somebodies to help eliminate those blind spots. I hope you're listening. I hope you hear that Jesus is trying to bring about a new song in this season in which we would all be reconciled back to the one whom can change us. If you're a junior higher, high schooler, or college kid, can I just speak to you for just a second? This summer, would you challenge yourself? Would you challenge yourself to get this book, to read it, to look into the applications, to look into the scriptures, to take to heart the prayers that are in this book? And would this be a transformative summer for you? We believe in you. This is your season, and we want to take your lead, but we want to take your lead as you follow the lead of the Spirit. And I would just encourage and challenge you to jump in and ask what new song you want to lead us into the future with. And if you take me up on the offer and you read the book, I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with you about what the book has meant to you. You see, church, the Father is about salvation. But he goes on in verse 23, but the hour is coming and the hour is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people who worship him in spirit and truth. If you remember back to the beginning of the Gospel of John, there was this divine dance happening between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we told you that as you work your way through the Gospel of John, you're going to be invited into that divine dance. And that's what worship is. Look at this. It's this phrase, perichoresis. It's divine mutual indwelling. It's where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would give way to each other. Well, we see as the gospel progresses that they say, do you want to dance with us? Do you want divine partnership with us? And will you give way for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to change your identity that you might sing a divine song? But there's this other phrase that we see in the Gospel of John called theosis, and it's attaining the likeness of God and union with him so far as possible. You see, worship is an everyday reality where in all things we're asking, what is the Spirit of God doing in me that I might look more like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? This is a conversation of worship. And to be honest, the text tells us that God is looking for those of us who will be true worshipers. Look at verse 24. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah. He is coming. He who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Do you hear it? The Father is spirit. And he wants worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. Ones who will be willing to walk through life change, to have their identity shifted from their old ways, as Paul would say, to the newness we find in the likeness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the question to the lady was, will you follow Jesus? And she said, I'm looking for a Messiah. And you too are looking for a Messiah. That's why you worship. The question is, who or what do you worship? And Jesus is asking, will you worship me? Because I am he. I am the Savior of the world, the one who can give you a new identity, the one in whom can redeem your song that you might sing a new song, a song that was made for you. And so this is an invitation. This series is a matter of our identity being stretched so that we can learn to worship the way God designed us to worship. We're going to see in a couple weeks more to the story that's going on around this text. But we're going to see in verse 29 of this that the woman says to the people that she runs to, she says, come and see, I think I have found the Christ. And I hope that you'll join us for the rest of this series and come and see who Christ is and how this might help you sing a new song. So as we head that direction, I just want to let you know, kind of give you an overview of where we're going. Today we said, will you lean into true life change that it might bring about true worship? Next week, we're going to get the privilege of listening to Andreas and Craig, two of the guys who lead our creative arts ministry around here. And they're going to say, does true worship sings a unique song? That God's wanting to do something inside of you uniquely. I'll be back up in a few weeks to say true worship is found in wrestling with the truth. Chuck's going to share with us that true worship is filled with gratitude. And I'm going to wrap the series up saying true worship leads us to an outward expression. And we're going to ask of you, are you willing to lean in to life change so that you can embrace the new song that God wants us to sing together? Let's lean in.